How do we know that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah? Well, there are various ways, but in our portion from John's Gospel today, four important witnesses are presented. In John, the 5th chapter, verses 30 through 39, our Lord presents unquestionable evidence of his messiahship by reminding us of four witnesses that present this truth conclusively: his Father in heaven, John the Baptist, his miracles, and the Old Testament scriptures. In verse 30, Jesus said, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." When Jesus said, "I can of mine own self do nothing," this was not to suggest any limitation of his power. Rather, he was emphasizing the unity of the Spirit which prevailed with the Father and the Son. Christ's every thought, word, and act was in glorious harmony with the will of the Father. Now in verse 31, Jesus said, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true." Throughout the Old Testament, God made it clear that at the mouth of two or three witnesses, truth would be established. It was not enough to have one witness only. The Pharisees would not receive Christ's personal witness to Messiahship, so he presented four other witnesses that they could not deny. In verse 32 we read, "There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true." Some would relate this witness to John the Baptist, of whom we read in the next verse. It would seem, however, that the Lord Jesus is speaking of the witness of the Father, of whom he continues to speak in verse 37. "And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice in any time, nor seen his shape." Verse 32 cannot refer to John the Baptist, because "witnesseth" is in the present tense. John the Baptist had been dead for some time. Surely there is a sense in which he, being dead, yet speaketh, but it does not appear to be the case here. Christ assured his hearers that the Father's testimony was true. The Father had declared of Christ in Luke 9:35, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." This should be enough evidence for anyone. But it is obvious that belief is not as dependent upon evidence as upon a will to believe. The Pharisees were stern religionists, fundamentalists in their interpretation of the law, but liberals in their willingness to obey the law. On one occasion, our Lord used the expression, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." God had given all the evidence anyone could have desired in the Old Testament scriptures, but in spite of this, they refused to believe because of the hardness of their hearts. Now in verses 33 through 35, we get Christ's second witness, who was John the Baptist. "Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light." When John the Baptist was confronted by the delegation sent by the priests and Levites to determine if he were the Messiah that should come, he made it clear that he was not, and gave a clear-cut witness to Christ. John the Baptist was merely a man, not the Messiah or some unusual prophet. But in spite of this, the blinded Pharisees were willing to accept John as more than a man. The Lord Jesus was not dependent upon what John the Baptist did to make him what he was, the Son of God. He was the Son of God long before John the Baptist came. Verse 36, "But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me." Now here's the third witness, Christ's miracles. The words greater witness do not suggest that John's witness was not important. The witness of Christ's miracles was greater because the Son of God performed these miracles. Anything God does is greater than that which man does. John experienced unusual popularity when his ministry first began. Many of the Pharisees and Sadducees participated in his baptism. In spite of his popularity, John had performed no miracles. Christ came healing the lepers, giving sight to the blind, raising the dead, yet he was not shown as much attention as was John. Does this not suggest the hardness of unbelieving hearts? It is obvious that the Father's witness of the Son was not only the verbal witness given at Christ's baptism and on other occasions, but the entire witness of the Old Testament Scriptures. In verses 37 through 38, Christ told the Pharisees, "Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not." The Pharisees professed to be authorities on God and the Scriptures. Jesus informed them of their ignorance of the truth, their heartless, spiritless, outward ceremony. How well they are described by the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now look at verse 39. This verse should be read, "Ye search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life." The Jews thought by their much reading of the Old Testament they would gain eternal life. This was not the purpose of the Old Testament Scriptures, but rather, as Jesus said, "They are they which testify of me." The Old Testament, with which the Pharisees were so familiar, was given to be a witness to Christ. In all their study, they had missed that of greatest importance, the scores of prophecies that had been fulfilled before their eyes in the coming of Christ. We read in Acts 10, verse 43, "To him, that is Jesus, give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." The Pharisees missed the purpose of the Word of God. Many in our day are guilty of the same error. They read the Bible, but they do not know the Christ of the Bible. Bible reading has little value without Christ in the heart, for it is Christ who makes the Bible live. And of course, some people never touch the Bible. The Bible doesn't mean a thing to them. They don't realize that this is the inspired Word of God telling us of salvation through Jesus Christ, and so they completely ignore God's Word. Maybe you are a person who has never done much with the Bible. I was that kind of person. For 21 years, I never touched God's Word. But someone gave me a copy of the New Testament, and I began to read, and I tell you, that took hold of my heart. That enlightened my eyes and gave me spiritual understanding until one night I cried out unto the Lord, "God, I don't know what you're saying in this third chapter of John, but you were saying here that we must be born again, and whatever that is, I want to be born again." And I'll tell you, God met me in a miraculous way. He changed my life around. He turned me from sin and darkness into his glorious light and beauty. I found that there were things in life that I had never known, and I began to follow him. God can do the same for you. Take God's Word. Read through the Gospel of John and get some understanding of the life of Christ, who he is and what he is and what he does, and let him work in your heart and read with an open mind and ask God to open your heart to the truth, and he will. And then the Word of God will become alive to you. And then the next thing to do is to ask Christ to come into your heart and life and live through you. Maybe you're ready to do that right now. I invite you to receive the Savior by faith. He died for you on the cross. He paid the price for your sins, and he wants to change your life around, and he can do that. If it's a drug problem, he can give deliverance. If it's alcohol, he can undertake for that as well. Let him work in your life. He can make your sad and unfruitful marriage a happy one, if only you'll give him a chance. Trust Jesus right now. And Father, I pray for those who are looking to you by faith and asking you to come into their lives. Meet them, Lord, as you have promised in your word, and live through them, that they may enjoy this great change through the power of Christ. For I pray in his blessed name. Amen.